Good morning. Happy 17th anniversary. We're almost into like our second decade, like 20 something. You know, it's like being 20 is exciting. You remember what that's like. So we're 17, and today we're here to celebrate what that means for us. And you know, I think I came here at year 9. We celebrated our 9th anniversary right after I came here. And I remember thinking then, the same thought I had this morning as I was listening to them play and listening to you sing and just thinking about everything that's happening here. And that is, I really do believe, as great as these first 17 years have been, our best years are still out in front of us. And I believe that with all my heart. And I'm so excited about the future. And there's something we've never done before. I found out this week in the history of our church, we've never done this. And we've never like recognized our founding members in a service like this. So if you're not too embarrassed, if you're here, there was like a handful, like 9 families, I think, or something like that, that started this church back in the mid-90s. So if you're here and you're one of our founders, would you mind standing so we can just say thank you to you? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. And, you know, you think about that bravery and courage and faith it took to do something different and do something new and to think outside the boxes that they'd been given. And they were brave enough and courageous enough to do it. And we're all here today. And a lot of the stories you're going to hear this morning were made possible because these handful of people said, we're going to do something risky. We're going to take a chance. And I think for us in the future, as we look like whatever the future looks like for us as a community, I think it has to embody that same kind of faith and that same kind of risk and that same kind of belief that if we're just doing the same thing we've always done and we're just saying the same things we've always said, then we're not really, what's the point? So we want to do something new to reach people who maybe church isn't for them. And you're going to meet some people this morning who I think some of them would have said, church isn't for me. One of my favorite conversations I have with some of you on a regular basis is when I ask you, tell me about your experience in coming to MCC. And the one thing they say again and again and again is, I have no idea why I'm here. And it's sort of, they're like, I don't know what brought me here. I don't know, like, I'm not a church person, but yet there's something going on that's real and it's true and I want to be part of it. And so you're going to hear some of those stories. But I just want to remind you before we jump into hearing stories, like what we're about. And I ran across this quote from Frederick Buechner like months ago, and I've been saving it for this moment. So I hope you like, oh, just like I did when I read it. We talk a lot about the journey here. Next slide. We talk a lot about the journey and what that journey means for us. Frederick Buechner says, faith is better understood as a verb than a noun, as a process than a possession. And what we're finding here is that for us, this spiritual life really is a journey. And it's not like the moment we decide to join some religion or something like that, the dump truck gets backed up and they, you know, God dumps everything on us that he wants us to have. It's a journey. It's a process. It's being open to the God who was not only present in Jesus and not only present in the disciples, the same God is present here and now with us today. And so we're learning that faith isn't something we can really get our hands around. It's something that's shaping us and molding us, and we're moving step by step into the future. We believe this so much that several years ago, we kind of crafted a mission statement to go around this. And it's that Morgantown Community Church, we exist to empower people to take the next step on their journey with Christ. I grew up in a religious environment that was always pressuring me for the next 10 things, right? And it was pressuring me to believe everything all at once. And there were some things I couldn't get my head around, some things I still haven't gotten my head around. Lots of mystery, lots of things we don't know, lots of things we struggle with. And so what we found is that where God meets us is right where we are and just as we are. It's not when we learn it all and figure it all out and we do all the right things. God meets us right now in the middle of our journey, and all he invites us to do is to take the next step. When I talk to somebody who says, you know, I'm an atheist, my next response is not, well, you must believe in the Lord Jesus. My next response is, okay, maybe over time you'll begin to entertain that there might just be a God out there. And then we'll take the next step as it comes in the next step. We're not interested in like force feeding somebody. So we're just interested in what's the next right thing? What's the next step? What's the next moment God's calling us into? Now, if you've been here the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about girl power. And during those last 4 weeks, I spent like, I think each of the sermons in that series was almost an hour long. So you guys probably went home like, whew, you know, you're taking a deep breath. And there are times when we need to open the Bible and grab some passages and really wrestle with them and think about what they mean. But what I'm finding more and more is when it really comes down to what changes our hearts, it's not a doctrine, it's not a dogma, it's not a theological argument. Rachel Jennings, when she was up here last week, she talked about her story and how what really came to captivate her heart was the fact that she saw God at work in people. And that reminded me of this verse from Psalm 34, where the psalmist says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Like, it's one thing to meet somebody who's studied a lot of books and they know a lot of stuff, and that's very important. That's beautiful. But I think the thing that really changes people's hearts is to taste and see. It's to realize that there's a God who can be experienced, a God who is real, a God who actually can transform the human heart into something it never dreamed it could be. And so today, instead of hearing a long, drawn-out sermon, what you're going to hear is you're going to hear three stories from three friends who, have really, really shaped my journey in a lot of ways as I've been hearing them talk about what God's doing in their journey. And for me, it's something about sometimes hearing other people say, "This is where God's at work in my life." It helps me to identify where God's at work in mine, too. So we're going to just invite them to come up, and we're going to go for it. So I'm going to invite Barb Pruitt to come up. Would everybody welcome Barb Pruitt as she comes up. Hello. I lowered that down a bit, so don't be shocked.
Okay. I may grab you.
That's, you grab me and take me down with you. That's okay. Totally fine. All right. Everybody, this is Barb. And Barb, how long have you been a part of our community here?
Almost 6 years.
Six? Has it been that long?
Almost 6 years.
How long have you been with us at MCC?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years now.
Doesn't seem like you've been here that long.
I know it doesn't. And maybe my math's wrong, but I think I'm right.
Well, Barb, could you tell us a bit about... what was your previous experience with church or your religion, Christianity? What were your views of that at that point in your life when you were just searching?
I didn't have a lot of views because I wasn't around people who went to church. As I met people and my experience here in Morgantown, as there are so many people, there were so many views. And some of them were very negative, and some of them were positive, and some of them sounded judgmental, so I had no...
And when that did that make you struggle with faith then, the seeing the judgmental and kind of hateful side of things from people?
A little bit. I had a lot of mentoring from good friends of ours here in the church, and they helped me wade through the things I was feeling, the thoughts I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I tried to let the negative go away with them. Mm-hmm. And save everything I thought should be saved and felt in my heart that Jesus called me to keep.
So what was your experience like coming to faith in Jesus? What was that like for you?
It was, like you said this morning, I did not get hit by a bolt of lightning. It was very slow. I was challenged by my sister, who had been trying to save me for 7 or 8 years, to take a take a class. It was in Bowling Green, a Bible study class in the Book of John. And so my sister is in California. She contacted this Bible study in Bowling Green and asked if there was anybody in Morgantown that could drive me to that study. And that's where I met Deb Duncan. Mm-hmm. And so she was my mentor as we came to and from this Bible study every week. We talked. And first thing I said was, "I don't believe. Just want to let you know that."
Just get that out there right
yeah,
away.
Exactly.
Not buying it.
Yes. Yeah. And she just encouraged and talked to me in a language I understood as I was going through the difficulties of being here, because coming from Cocoa Beach to here and under the circumstances, we had a big crash.
We don't have an ocean here.
That's true. And so she was helping me deal with the feelings of, well, something I never knew before, that I was a victim of circumstance, of other people, of everything. And she helped me in my own language recognize that it was how I respond. It was not what life or people were doing to me, but my response to it. And it took that year of digesting all those things and that study, and it took me almost the year to believe, and I think I spoke to you the day I realized I believed, and I'm like, Josh, I don't think I feel anything great big, but...
I think sometimes we, you know, and some people have those big experiences like Paul did, and, you know, where he gets knocked off his horse by a big bright light.
Yes.
But I don't think that's the common thing. I think we sensationalize things sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, your journey, I think, describes what a lot of people would say they've experienced. It's just time. And it's, I mean, think about how different that would have been if Deb had have decided, like, to steamroll you when you said, I don't believe.
I would have never gotten her car again.
When you think about that, like she understood the journey.
Yes, very well.
So you and Deb were able to hook up through your sister, who called somebody in Bowling Green,
Exactly. My sister in California introduced me to my friends and neighbors.
Awesome.
And of course, I moved in near Lindsay's, so I had their family to encourage and love me right from the get-go.
And so. You're going back and forth to Bible study fellowship. You're starting to believe. And I think I remember we talked in the youth room now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You came in to see me and we were in there and we talked. So tell us about how you obviously Deb had a big role, but how did you come to MCC?
Well, I think just people who came here loved me in. They encouraged me. They loved me. They didn't seem judgmental to me. So that was where I wanted to go. Someplace that I wasn't feeling threatened.
Mm.
And, you know, some of the other folks that I've met, and I have been to a few other churches, were the steamroller type, I guess.
So you came here and you became a part of our family. Can you just talk a little bit about how being here, because today we're celebrating our 17th anniversary, so I think it's appropriate to talk about, I mean, everybody in these seats makes this possible.
Right.
So could you tell them how they've been, how they've impacted your journey with Christ?
So much so. Everybody here has been loving and not judging and accepting me as I came in as a non-believer. I started as a non-believer. And the fact that people encouraged me and spoke to me in a language that I understood, I like to be loved.
Who doesn't like to be loved?
Yes. And this encouraged me to go further into the Word and further into more small group studies and, you know, speaking to my friends every week and wading through the sin that I had to process to come to this. I just, the grace, the mercy, the love was what called me and what I would like to imitate in my walk.
Well, you know, what a lot of people don't know, and I'm not trying to embarrass you with this, but Barb, this whole following Jesus thing has taken with her. And she is one of the best servants I've ever met. She works with our kids. She delivers backpacks. And I think all the stuff you know, because you talk about how important serving is to your journey. So I think all that really is just comes out of gratitude, doesn't it, for what God's done in your life?
Absolutely. Every day. I thank God for my salvation every single day. Gratitude is what has kept me grounded, because God is so much of the time away from where I can even humanly process. So I have to use tools to keep me there. And the gratitude is just what comes naturally and makes me want to serve and want to love and show other people what the feeling of believing in Jesus will do for your life, because it's changed mine immensely.
Barb, is there anything else you want to say to our brothers and sisters?
Just that I love you all, and I love our church and our pastor, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to say so.
Thank you, Barb. Everybody thank Barb. Coming up. Hey, Barb. I remember when we started talking about journey a lot around here, somebody said to me, do you think this journey stuff really works? And I didn't know if they were talking about the band or what we were trying to do here. And I think what you just heard there is, yeah, it works. It 100% works. It's just about the next right step. I want to introduce you to another friend, Brenda Longhofer. Would you come on up? Let's welcome Brenda as she comes. It's a bit lower now, so be careful. There you go. All right, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Now, Brenda, how long have you been with us here?
I'm not sure.
Okay, good. That's good.
I'd have to ask my son-in-law. I'm actually not sure. I think it's been 2 years.
2 years.
Or close to 2 years.
Time just flies by when you're having a blast.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Brenda, can you talk to us a little bit about what was your previous, before the last couple of years you were here, what was your previous experience with Christians, with church? What came to your mind when you thought about this thing?
Well, I grew up in a very fundamentalist environment. I grew up on the east side and north side of Butler County. And we went to church where we went to school. We hardly knew anybody outside of that whole thing. And I was immersed in the God thing with sin and hell. And I went to Louisville when I was 19. I stayed for 37 years. So I went through a lot of changes, in my life, which brought me to always question why, the whys of things and hows of things, and met a lot of different people and interesting people, and got really disillusioned with Christianity and didn't really want any part of it because I felt like God was, like we were taught when we were small, he was everywhere and he was watching me. Like he watched me when I was sleeping.
A good thing.
It was not a good thing. I think I can say this. I hope I don't embarrass anybody here today. When I left here the other day, I got in my car and Stephen King was on NPR and he was talking about God. And I almost just stopped my car, he said that God was a spirit and that it was holy. It was a Holy Spirit. And he said that God was the ultimate spook. And I thought about that and I kind of resented it for a minute. And then I thought, that was how I felt when I was little. Like God was everywhere I was and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't think anything. And I was never good enough. I was never, ever going to be good enough. So what was the point in it? Just forget the whole idea. And through those struggles especially my 20s and into my 30s, I really took a look at a lot of other religions and the great religions of the world, all three of them, I really delved into that. And then the minor religions, which, I loved. I love the whole idea of Hindu and Buddhism, Shinto and all that, because they were awe-inspiring. They were uplifting. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to be uplifted. I don't want to feel fear anymore. I don't want to think I'm not good. And I think in my life, I started to feel like a good person. And it took a long time to get over all of that guilt that you have when you're just not exposed or have people thinking about God in a different way. I don't think I ever didn't believe in Jesus. I think I doubted God. I thought I was never an atheist. I was agnostic.
Though, I think like when you're around toxic religion, it can make you want to be an atheist.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it seems like this is the option I've been given, and if this is as good as it gets, I would rather just not believe anything.
Right.
Exactly. I totally understand that. Yeah.
And for years, until I stayed in Louisville 37 years. I moved back here when I was 1992. And I saw this church being built, you know, and I live at 231. And I drive by, and sometimes I think, what are they doing over there? And then after I go, what are they doing in there? You know, like,
I think lots of people are wondering that.
Yeah. What do they do there? You know? And I mean, Tommy and I have been friends, you know, for a long time, and I have family that goes here, and I'm not going to embarrass you, Ryder. And but they never really, they talked very positive, but no one ever really tried to get me to come here, maybe because they never thought it would ever do any good. I mean, I wouldn't have, you know, I just wasn't, and I actually don't know how I got here. I don't know why I came that day, but I remember it really well. My son-in-law had come here a few times, you know, and then we both had a really traumatic, like, 2011. And so I'm not sure that that had anything to do with me coming here, but there's a possibility that it could have. But he and I came one Sunday, and you talked about being inclusive. And so I listened to every word you said that day, and I thought, that's interesting. So we came back the next Sunday. And I think it was three or four Sundays into coming back that he said to me on the way home, we're really fortunate to be able to go there and hear him. And I thought, he's so right. He's so right, because it just opened up what I thought that love was about. And I think that's what Jesus was about, was love. And I felt like I wrote you a card.
Yes, and I'll keep that with me till the day I die.
I thanked him for being here, and I thanked him for being brave and courageous. And I've changed my mind about that, because I realized that he's not.
I'm not. I'm just not smart enough to know I'm saying anything controversial.
He can't do it any other way. It isn't about him being brave or courageous. It's Josh. It's, you know, and that's not to say you're not brave and courageous. I thanked him for being tall so he could see all of us. And I thanked him for keeping the door open. And I think when I wrote that card and I wrote that about keeping the door open, I knew why I was here, because I think anyone can walk in that door. And it's so important to people like me, you know, my journey to get here. It was so important to walk through that door. And I really don't know a lot of people here. You all know that. I mean, you know the people that I know. But I feel like I know who you are. And I feel like that you know who I am. My friend Mary Hampton told me years ago, she said, you're a really good person. You just don't want to give God any of the credit for it. And she has the most wonderful relationship with her God. And I've always, like, loved that. You know, when I would meet people that had this just wonderful relationship with their God, and I would think, why don't I have that? I haven't been chosen. You know, what's going on? You know, but I feel really good today. I love coming here. I think the sermon on redemptive movement was just absolutely the best yet. And I don't call your messages sermons. They're not sermons, you know.
I like to think it's a little bit of stand-up.
It's definitely stand-up.
You know, I like to think there's a little bit of that.
It makes me really happy. I never knew why you couldn't laugh and be happy and be joyful and be loving God or love. It was not in my past to do that. You were supposed to be sad and morose. You were supposed to blame and judge. And you know what I mean? There was just no joy in it. And I'm happy when people can be joyful. You know, that's, to me, that's life. And I love life. I love living here on this earth.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
On this earth. I'm not worried about heaven. I don't even know if there's a heaven, because I think I'm in heaven now.
You're already in, yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're in the bonus right now.
Absolutely. So I'm not worried about heaven, and I don't even say that other word anymore, because I don't say right and wrong either, or good and bad, or black and white. I've tried to get those words out of my head and body, and so I can be a more loving and accepting human being. So that's where I am with it.
I remember when you came in my office and you told me you wanted to become a part of our church. And the thing you said to me was, and I'll never forget this, but you said, I don't buy everything yet. Can I still be a part of this?
That's right. I wanted you to know that.
And I said back to you, neither do I.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, a lot of things that we say were sort of like parallel thinking with many, many years between us. And sometimes we don't talk at all. We just sit there and stare off into space. You know? But, I mean, I felt like I had to say to him, can I be a part of this without believing all that maybe you believe or the congregation believes? And I know that I can, and I know that maybe. I know I'm a really spiritual person, and I don't know how you separate that from loving God. I don't know how you separate that.
I don't either.
So it's really helped me to come here. Like in ways that my daughter says, because I like to sing. But I didn't go to church for many years, many, many years. And I really never, I thought I would never go again. And it didn't bother me that I wasn't ever going to go again.
And here you are.
Here I am.
And you know what? We were talking the other day, like if this church didn't exist, you and I wouldn't have anywhere to go.
That's right. I'd have nowhere.
Yep.
I had a rock out in the backyard. You know what I mean? I would have nowhere to go.
Well, we're so glad you're here with us.
Thank you so much.
We love you. Is there anything else you want to share?
No. My family's, I have a granddaughter and my daughter and my son-in-law and my sister are here today.
So
my little family's always here or sometimes they're
you
here.
You have a cheering section.
I do. I've always had a cheering section. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brenda. You ready for one more? All right. Would you please join me in welcoming my friend Walter West as he comes up to share? How are you?
All right. Man, there's a lot of y'all out there today.
just don't think
this
about
is full.
It. So, Walter... We were talking the other day at lunch, and you said you'd been here. I can't remember exactly how long you've been a part of this church.
It will be, I looked it up, it will be 5 years in July.
So you're coming up on your fifth anniversary with us. Before you came here, what was your previous experience with Christianity, religion, church, that whole thing like?
Man, that's going to be, let's see, where to start? Well... first of all, I want to say that I was brought up around religion, and my parents took us to different churches, probably four or five different churches we attended during my youth. And I don't know if maybe my parents were looking for something or whatever, but we did change churches quite a bit. And I want to say I do have the best parents in the world, and I'm thankful for my upbringing and the people that I grew up around. Although I don't believe that way anymore, for the most part, there's a lot of good you can take from, you know, any church you go to. But I kind of look back now and laughingly kind of call the way I was brought up kind of the doctrine of anti-fun. So it was basically anything that was fun you couldn't do, and that was tough. But I did become a believer and had a profound experience with Christ when I was 17, and I was baptized, and for a few years there, everything was going good. But let me tell you, that doctrine of anti-fun, I made up for it in my 20s because I didn't reject Jesus or God, but I guess I rejected the religious establishment or the that type of religion that I was brought up around. And looking back, I don't think that I ever said, you know, Jesus, you're the problem or anything like that, because I did have a very great experience when I was saved. And looking back now, I know that he's never left me. There's no way that he's ever not been there for me. It's just been when I wanted to say, you know, here I am, Jesus, you know, and help me with this or whatever. But like I said, I left, basically didn't attend church for probably, I don't know, all through my 20s and early 30s, you know. And like I said, it was all about the fun then. And I made up for the anti-fun doctrine big time.
Well, how did you end up here, Walter?
Well, I do remember when this church started. I was working at Sumitomo Electric, and Veronica and Felicia Gary, and I don't remember, maybe some other people invited me to come here, and I didn't ever come until years later. But I do remember when this church started. And by the way, speaking of Sumitomo Electric, I had a woman boss for 15 years. And let me tell you, women can lead and they can do it well. Let me tell you, she was a great supervisor and the best boss I've ever had in my life. And I've had several.
Girl power.
So that's on that note, yeah. But it wasn't until years later. Actually, my brother invited me to come here. He had been attending some for a while, and I remember, you know, the first time I came here, I thought, wow, that is one talented worship team, and then I heard Josh speak.
And it was just downhill from there.
No, not at all. You know, I said the other day, I said every time I hear Josh get up and talk on Sunday, I think, well, that's the best. He can't top that. But then he tops it. So, and I remember the first time I heard him speak, and I echo what one of the other ladies said, that you know, we are truly, I feel I'm truly blessed to get to come here every week and hear him speak. And he's probably, well, not definitely, the most educated, knowledgeable guy that I've ever heard speak. But he'll also get up here, and I think all of you can attest to this, he'll get up here and he'll say, I don't have it all figured out yet. And he truly means that, and you can... I'm sorry.
He's had more than one conversation with me.
But
he knows.
He does mean that, and it's not just something he says. And you know, he'll say that, you know, this is my interpretation of what we're going to talk about today. This didn't come down from above or whatever necessarily. This is me talking and my interpretation of that, and I respect that so much, and I think we're very blessed to have him as a pastor.
Well, thank you, and I'll slip you that five in a bit. So you ended up here at MCC 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what role they've played on your journey over these last 5 years?
Wow. It's been many things that I couldn't just, you know, I thought about this a few days before. You know, I appreciate Josh giving me the opportunity to get up here and talk. And shortly after I started attending here, and I became a member, not maybe a year later or whatever. And but I got sick, and I'd never been sick a day in my life. But I got had a very serious illness take hold, and it's not curable, and it's left scars on the outside and on the inside of me. So for a little while there, about 3 years ago, I didn't really know what to do next. I didn't know, you know, I knew how to get up and go to work. I knew how to do my daily thing, but I really avoided people. I didn't get out much on purpose because I thought, well, you know, people's going to be staring at me. You know, I don't really want to, you know, and I was very self-conscious about how I looked. One thing that kept me going, and I really had to reconnect with Jesus, I think, because I heard one of the ladies say that they didn't want to feel fear anymore. And I went through a real period where that was me. I asked Jesus to please just give me peace with this. you know, maybe it's not your will that I'm going to be healed, but could you please just give me peace? And he did that. And the people here, the thought of being able to come back and worship with this community of believers was something that every day I thought about during the time that I wasn't getting out and wasn't physically really able to do a lot. And so I thank you all for that. You know, we have a group that meets on Wednesday night, and they're just an awesome group of people. I mean, we can sit around, in a circle and we talk about various topics, and a lot of times maybe we don't all always agree, but, you know, we just talk and throw it out there, and then everybody comes back the next week. And you can, I don't know where you find that anywhere else. You know, there are no labels here. You know, people are accepted just as they are when you walk through the door. And I truly believe that with all my heart.
Anything else you want to share with your brothers and sisters?
Just that I spent the first half of my life, and I guess statistically, you know, I'm 43, so basically it's half or maybe better over with. So I hope to live a good long 150 years, but that's not probably going to happen. But I spent the first part of my life being pretty selfish and thinking about me a lot. And I just want to say that thanks to the vision that you guys have displayed and the way that you have shown Jesus through your lives, I want to spend the next half or whatever time I've got left serving others and finding ways to serve. And I want to thank all of y'all for that.
Thank you so much, Walter. Thank you. So when somebody says to me, what is your all's church about? Or does this, y'all talk about this journey thing, does that really work? I don't anymore. I used to would pick up my Bible and try to find passages. Well, yeah, it works here. And I don't do that anymore. If somebody says, does this idea of journey work? I just say, hey, I've got this friend named Brenda you need to meet. I've got a friend named Barb, who her story, my friend Walter, his story, it'll let you know that journey works. And that what this church is about and what we're becoming, I think, is more and more welcoming, open, and really just ready to help people take the next right step. I do believe our best years are ahead of us. I believe that whatever the future holds, it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be beautiful because you guys have made it this. Because that handful of families 17 years ago said, yeah, we'll be brave, we'll take a risk. And because along these last 17 years, again and again, you've been asked and challenged to be brave and take risks so that more people can come to a place where they can hear about God's grace and be invited just to the next right step. And you guys have made that possible. And here's something we'd like to do. When you came in, you were given a program. And in your program, there should be a sheet of paper that has kind of the 17th anniversary logo that my friend Josh Hampton made for us. It has our old logo, new logo. It's quite cool. It's on there. And here's what we'd like you to do. It says my story, and it has a place for your name. What we'd like to do is you've heard three stories, three powerful, beautiful stories of what God's grace has been up to among us. And there are a lot more than three of you here. So here's what we'd like to do. If you would like to share your story with us, just write, you know, just however much you want to write, just to give us a bit of a taste of what your story, you can tell us how you've tasted and seen that God is good, just like they did today. What we'd love to do is if you'll turn all those back in over the next few weeks, we'd love to put together a little book that we all have, that we can all get a copy made of, and that everybody can have a book of our stories. And just where we are on the journey so far. So if you'd like to be included in that, and I hope many, many, many of you will, feel free just to write that down and get it to me, get it to Kim during the week, get it to somebody here, and we'll bring all those together, and we're going to make a story, a book, so that when somebody asks you, what's your church about? Does this journey thing work? Turn to page 3. Turn to page 4. Check this out, because this is why journey works. I'm grateful. Grateful to be your pastor. Grateful that you've given me the last 8 years to journey with you, and we're just, Carla and I feel more than blessed, and we're so excited about the future. And thought we'll have a word of prayer, and then we thought what we'd do is we would just celebrate a bit. Is that okay? So get your singing voices warmed up. Let's have a word of prayer. God, grateful for these stories. Grateful for not only these three stories, but the story upon story which sits in this room right now of people whose lives have been impacted, whose lives have been shaped, who have been a part of this idea. God, grateful for our founders, the families who 17 years ago said they were willing to take a risk, to have people wondering about them, to have lots of people praying for them. Yet they took the risk, they stepped out, and they gave birth to something new. And hopefully we're being good stewards of that tradition they've handed us. That tradition of innovation, of courage, of faith, of just taking the right next step when you invite us. That's my prayer for each one of my brothers and sisters here today, wherever we are on the journey, whether we're an atheist or whether we've been a believer in Jesus for 30, 40, 50 years. My prayer is that you'll help us to just take the next right step when you make it available. No pressure, no condemnation, no screaming. Just the next right step. God, we're grateful for your grace, the grace you have poured out over these last 17 years and the grace that will be desperately needed for the next 17. We thank you. We're humbled to be a part of this. We just can't wait to see what's next. We pray this in the strong, healing name of Jesus. And everybody said, all right, let's stand and sing.